Good evening. Greetings to each one. The very precious and worthy name of Jesus. Again, wonderful opportunity to gather in tonight and to praise God with those songs. What has the grace of God done for you today? What has it done in my life? Is it the marvelous grace, infinite grace? Trust it is. And again, I was, even before Stephen mentioned that in his prayer about the privilege to gather in undisturbed, I was just thinking about that, how we gather in with the doors and the windows open without fear. What a tremendous opportunity, and yet we take it so for granted. I take it so for granted. Just expect it to happen. So again, to be thankful and to continue to be dedicated to live for God with our lives. For a sermon tonight, you can turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. I've entitled it Youth with Purpose of Heart. And I'll give a disclaimer right away, is it's not just for the youth, but I specifically wanted to make it applicable to the youth. It says right here in the beginning that Hezekiah was 25 years old. And I don't know, maybe if you're 18 tonight, that doesn't feel like a youth anymore. But to many of us, 25 definitely still feels like a youth. But to have purpose of heart, and we see, just want to take some truths from Hezekiah and his life, things he faced, and even other people here is actually where I pull part of the lessons from. It's easy to feel like as a youth that my life doesn't really count in the big picture. My decisions aren't that important. I'm just one out of how many. And if I'm not seeking God with all my heart, all day, every day, it doesn't really matter. You ever feel that way? If I make a little room for my flesh to give in to the temptations of sin, that it's not that big of a deal. And as we discussed the other night, that's a lie from Satan. That's how he came to Eve, saying it's not that big of a deal. God doesn't really have the best for you. Don't listen to what God has to say. It's still the same lie. It's important that we have purpose of heart to serve God. And the lesson here from Hezekiah just brings it out so vividly. And I'm just going to recount some of the story, not read the whole passage. Good passage to read. 2 Chronicles 29, 30, 31, 32. Hezekiah's life, all that transpired. But we're just going to lift out some of the highlights of that tonight. And so he was 25 years old when he began reigning, and he inherited a kingdom that had departed from God. But he purposed in his heart to seek God, and he opened back up the house of the Lord, the temple, and brought in the priests and the Levites, and began to clean it out and repair it, because death and destruction had come upon them. Some of them were carried off into captivity, and their lives were facing ruin and difficulty because they had departed from God. And he said, we must return to God with all of our heart. Just breaking in here at verse 8 of chapter 29, he says, wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now, it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him, and to burn incense. So here he was telling the Levites to sanctify themselves, to do the work that God had them to do in being the spiritual leaders in Israel. And he talked about entering into covenant, and we talked about that as well. God wants to make a covenant with each and every one of us today to be his sons, his daughters, that all of us would enter into covenant, and that we would allow him to come within us to be the temple of the living God. And so here again we have this example of men entering into covenant. And these men followed this call of Hezekiah to enter into this calling. And they gathered themselves together and sanctified themselves. And did everything exactly as he had said. However, if you're a Bible scholar, you know there were the priests and there were the Levites, and they both worked in the temple, but they had different callings as far as what they actually did. And I bring this up because this is a part of the story. They each had individual responses in how they entered into covenant with God. They were not forced to. Hezekiah could not make them do what he wanted them to do. They had to voluntarily say, yes, I am going to serve God in my generation, and I am going to enter into doing what I know God has created me to do. They were not forced to do that, just as Hezekiah was not forced to return the people of Israel to God. And so we come on further down here in the chapter. And there, Hezekiah is ready to sacrifice. Hezekiah has been seeking God with all of his heart, endeavoring to find reconciliation and fulfill the covenant that God would stop his judgment upon them. Breaking in here, verse 26 of chapter 29. And we'll read to the end of the chapter. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets, and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. And all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. Then Hezekiah answered and said, Now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings. And the number of the burnt offerings which the congregation brought was 70 bullocks, and 100 rams, and 200 lambs. All these were for a burnt offering to the Lord. And the consecrated things were 600 oxen and 3,000 sheep. This was like an astounding commitment to God. But the priests were too few, so that they could not flay all the burnt offerings. Wherefore, their brethren the Levites did help them till the work was ended, and until the other priests had sanctified themselves. For the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. And also the burnt offerings were in abundance with the fat of the peace offerings, and the drink offerings for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. And Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people that God had prepared, the people, for the thing was done suddenly. And so my first point is, every person decides the condition of their heart. And so here we see the people came with readiness to enter back into service to God in the way he had commanded in the law, and offering their sacrifices. And it was so much so that there were not enough priests prepared. And if you go back and study the whole consecration process, there was a way God had outlined they were to be prepared. And the priests were not ready. But who was ready? The Levites were. And the Levites were not supposed to be the ones there at the altar sacrificing these animals. But because the Levites had consecrated themselves, they basically took the office of the priests for that time. Because they had sought God and prepared their heart, do people know that I am dedicated to serve God? What opportunities does God have coming in America, coming across the world, for His word to go forth, the message of salvation? Is your heart prepared? We don't know what another year, another 5 years holds. And would to God that every person here is prepared to bring souls into the kingdom, to go out on the streets, that we might have opportunity to see that happen. We don't know. We know in places like Iran and China, and there's some amazing things happening. We don't know what God has. Is my heart prepared to be the Levite? Even though I may not be an ordained minister of the gospel, you are to be prepared to share the gospel message and bring souls into the kingdom. And that starts today in a heart that has purpose of heart to be prepared to know and understand the work of God and to be bold in that, just as these Levites were. Because if we keep reading down into chapter 30, this thing was so amazing. Hezekiah said, let's send letters also over to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they also would come and worship God just like we are. And what happened? Going down to verse 10. So the posts passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun. But they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Do you stop having purpose of heart if your friends, your neighbors, laugh and mock you to scorn in your pursuit of God and His plan and His ways? Nevertheless, verse 11, divers of Asher and Manasseh and of Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord. So everybody heard the call, and everybody had to decide how they were going to respond. So my second point is the condition of my heart affects my worship of God. And we see that the free in heart, the upright in heart, the humble of heart, these are words that are used to describe these people. Free in heart. Is your heart free from what the world has to offer? Upright in heart, seeking God's ways first and foremost. That's the most important thing in my heart. Humility of heart, able to be showed the way of God by other men of God. And so they sought God carefully, zealously. And there was so many people came. Go down to verse 18. They had not done this in years. This was revival of outstanding, staggering proportions in the land of Israel. For a multitude, verse 18 of chapter 30, for a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. How can that be? How could these people that had not cleansed themselves according to the law of God come and partake in the Passover? That was against what God wanted, right? How could this happen? There was a man seeking God with all of his heart, and he prayed for them. Let's keep reading. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, "The good Lord pardon every one that prepareth his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people." Is it possible today that we can be men like Hezekiah in our generation? That we can seek God with all of our heart, that we can intercede for people and they can find healing. They can find God, even though they were not properly cleansed. They might not understand all the ways and the things of God. This did not happen because Hezekiah was busy seeking his own things. This came because Hezekiah was completely sold out and dedicated to seeking God with his life. And the people that did not have time to get everything in order according to the law, God said, "It's okay. I know your heart. I know you're seeking me." And because Hezekiah has prepared his heart, I will hear Hezekiah's intercession, and I will heal and deliver you, much like Moses and his intercession. And so God calls, as youth, you to have purpose of heart and calls you to intercede for people that their heart is not right. And I don't know, I'm just humbled again and again when God moves, when men are sincere in pursuit of God and intercession for other people, how God moves and works. And yet we know God does not force anybody, but God desires us to be completely open before him and to be pursuing him and to continue in intercession just as Hezekiah was here. And so when my third point, when righteous men pray, God hears. Verse 27. Then the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. That picture just blesses my heart. The congregation gathered together and prayed, and the prayers went up to heaven before God, even to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. Does your prayer tonight go up into heaven, into the holy dwelling place of God? I trust you have that confidence. And because Hezekiah was upright in heart, his effectual, fervent prayer brought revival and healing to Judah and to Manasseh and to Ephraim. And so James 5:16 says, "Confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And so continuing in on the story, going down to chapter 32. Sadly, this did not end the story of Hezekiah's life. His life went on, and there's a lesson in the continuation of the story for us here tonight. My fourth point is selfishness and fear have no residence in a heart where God is. Selfishness and fear have no place in my heart when God is there. They face difficulty. They face trial. And as youth, you will as well. As you go through life, it's very important that tonight you're dedicated to live for God with all of your heart, all of your life. But next week, next year, there could be a battle come just as Hezekiah faced. Chapter 32, verse 6, we'll read a couple verses here. Sennacherib came up against him, enemy kingdom. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfortably to them, saying, "Be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed, for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. And so we see a confidence from Hezekiah in God. And because of his pursuit of God, the people rested in that. And there was victory. There was purpose of heart in continuing in the ways of God. And God protected them and delivered them because they did not allow fear and selfishness to reign over them. And so we struggle with these things. God allows these things to test us, to try us in life. We face challenges. But we must anchor our life in Jesus and his promise of eternal life. We could just turn over to Romans chapter 8. Paul talks about that here at the end of the chapter. God wants us to have confidence because he has overcome this world. He wants us to have peace even in tribulation, but to stay of good cheer because we have confidence in our eternal salvation and that Jesus has overcome this world. And so Paul says, Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Is this where you're at tonight? The purpose of heart, just as Paul penned these words and the things he had been through, and he was convinced without a shadow of a doubt, nothing in life was worth giving up his walk with God and the path into heaven because of the work of Christ and laying down his life for him. And so, my fifth point, we never outgrow our need to be upright in heart. We never get past the point in this life that, well, we finally attained. We're there. I can kind of just step back and just take it easy. And that's where the American dream collides with the gospel, where we can retire and just tour the country, right? And just take it easy. Is that Well, what happened when Hezekiah did that? Let's keep looking at this just a little bit more. That's essentially what Hezekiah did. Sat back and said, the kingdom is established. God is good. Let's see. Chapter 32, verse 24, 25. In those days, Hezekiah was sick to the death and prayed unto the Lord. And he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Such an amazing man with such an amazing start. The power of his intercession and what he achieved in the kingdom and returning thousands of people to God. And yet his heart became lifted up. He became proud. So even after great victories, Hezekiah faced severe testing and forgot to look to God. Where are we tonight? Are we continuing to look to God, to draw closer to God, to accept the need to always be working and laboring in the kingdom and continuing to bring people to God and giving of ourselves, being careful to keep a pure heart before God? We see that Hezekiah only had a few short days. And it says he repented, but he continued to not be perfect towards God. And because he repented, the wrath fell not while he was alive. But what did he say? Well, thank you, God, it's not in my days. And so we only have a few short days to live. And our opportunity is over. Our story is written. It's my last point. We only have a few short days to live. It's hard for me to believe. The Bible says three score and ten, right? And if by reason of strength, four score. I'm already, according to that, past the halfway mark. That doesn't even seem real. And then we were just talking tonight about how accidents happen. And God does not even give everybody that long. We only have a few short days to live. And so we must make a conscious effort to follow Jesus. It's so easy to be busy with good things, just like Hezekiah. He was so busy with good things, building his kingdom, leading them out against the armies. And he began to take pride or to take comfort that it was getting established. Things were going well. And failed to maintain that close purpose of heart to seek God. And in Jesus, we see even Jesus as a man took time away to pray, to connect with his Father. And if Jesus as a perfect man needed time away from his ministry to devote in prayer and seeking the face of God the Father, how much more do I need to take specific time away from the pressures of life, from the temptations to be proud about what I've accomplished in life, to facing the difficulties when there is seemingly an enemy, something that cannot be overcome in front of me? Specifically, taking time away from that to seek the face of God. It's probably been one of the hardest things for me to learn and to continue to learn. Because I need to figure it out. If I've got a problem in work with a customer or between employees, I need to figure it out. No, I need to take it to God. God wants to use these things for me to Come learn of him. Maybe a mom, trouble between your children. God gave you two children with completely different personalities. How do you resolve that? And dads, these things are beyond us. God wants us to take these difficulties to him, to keep us humble, to keep us seeing our need, to keep us seeking him with all of our heart, to commune with him. And so, in conclusion, again, just to emphasize what I've been emphasizing all week, to accept God and who he's created me to be. See him as my Father. And God, whatever you've created me for, I want to walk in that. I want to trust you in every circumstance that you bring into my life and that you're preparing me for that eternal home in heaven that you have prepared for everybody. And it's only those that reject God and his mercy receive his damnation. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. I think we'll go ahead and give an invitation tonight. If you're here tonight, you know that you do not have purpose of heart. Maybe you've started out in the way and have given up. Maybe you've never started out in the way. You have opportunity again tonight to make that declaration that I will live for God with my life. What shall we sing? 726.
Shall I come just as I am, come with all my guilt and sin? Will I open wide my heart? Will he enter in? As you are, just as you are, come to Jesus, come today. He will come, he welcome you. Take your sins away.
God is speaking to your heart. Stand to your feet. Tonight is the night of opportunity. Let's sing another verse.
Come, the less I am, come and know at Jesus' feet. Shall I hear his pardoning grace and his love entreat? As you are, just as you are, come to Jesus, come today. He will kindly welcome you. Take your sins away.
Thank you for coming, for your attentiveness each evening, keeping prayers. Lord willing, another two more messages. I've enjoyed being here with you, seeing your commitment to live for God. And if God has spoken to your heart, don't go to sleep tonight until you know all is well between you and him. That's the God we serve. That is what he wants. But each day, we can be at peace. We can go to sleep knowing all is well between us and him. Let's stand for closing prayer. Our Father, again, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given to us. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the freedom to enjoy your amazing creation. And Father, we just worship you. We thank you for redemption through Jesus. And Father, help us to have purpose of heart, to put away the temptations of pride and selfishness and the lusts of our flesh, and rather to walk completely in the plan that you've created us for and where you have called us. And so we ask that your Spirit would continue to speak to us, continue to reveal where we have doubt, we have mistrust, where we have self-confidence and selfishness. And Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, that you want all men to be saved, and you've made a way possible whereby every person that you have created can enter into eternal life with you. And so that as we go from here, Father, help us to be quick to share this message, to give us opportunities to speak to the world around us of your love, of your goodness, of your call to walk as you've called us to. So guide and keep us. Again, tonight is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.